So we've been doing this series on the Ten Commandments, and you may wonder how relevant these commandments are to our lives. Well, maybe more than you think. Back in 2003, a public library in Savannah, Missouri, decided to open its doors on Sunday. And as a result, a woman, Connie Rim, a librarian for 12 years, found herself squeezed between honoring the Sabbath and keeping a job that she considered to be a gift from God. Connie ultimately chose to worship on Sundays, and she got fired by the library. So she decided to file a lawsuit against the library, claiming religious discrimination. And when it became obvious that she had a very strong case, the library offered a financial settlement. It attempted simply to pay to make Connie and her claim go away. But Connie wasn't really interested in the money. She just wanted the job back. So 3 years later, after she was fired, a Missouri jury ordered the library to reinstate Connie Rim to her job. It also awarded her $52,712 in damages as compensation for lost wages. And in an interview, she said something interesting. She said, "Here I am, a middle American, mild-mannered, small-town library person. I attribute to the Lord a great sense of humor for having picked me for this test. What price is my religious freedom? What is it worth? It's not a matter of displaying the Ten Commandments. It's being able to live the Ten Commandments. And that's what my employer was asking me not to do." Interesting. God's Big Ten, better known as the Ten Commandments. One reason I believe that it's important to read God's Big Ten each week is because we see and we hear about them less frequently than ever before these days. It's very important both to know them and to be reminded of them often. So once again, we're going to read them all. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to read the first 17 verses of that portion of God's Word, Exodus chapter 20. And I would encourage you to open your Bible, find it on your device or whatever. Pull out a blue pew Bible if you don't have one with you, and follow along as I read the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, I'm beginning to read in verse 1. "And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." So we're taking 10 Sundays this fall to discuss all of God's Big Ten. And today we're at number 4. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Now, folks, I got to tell you, there's a lot of head scratching with this commandment. Why is God so concerned about one day of the week and what you do on that day? I mean, murder, adultery, stealing, it makes sense to have commandments about all that kind of stuff, right? But keeping the Sabbath? And you can even find Old Testament passages where God commanded people to be executed for not observing the Sabbath, and they were. I mean, what is that about? It's a fact that the original Sabbath day also was and is Saturday. That's the day observed by those who practice Judaism. Most Christians, however, have made Sunday our day of holy, you know, activity, or as kind of our special day. So why is that? Well, there are some historical reasons for the change that, if you've never been aware of this, you should be. The primary reason for Christians to set aside Sunday rather than Saturday was because Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday morning, and the Holy Spirit also gave birth to the church on a Sunday, the day of Pentecost. So for the very first Christians, Sunday became known as what? Became known as the Lord's Day. And they began to gather for worship and for fellowship on Sundays rather than on Saturdays. Now, there's also, and I think this is even more important, there's some theological reasons for the change from Saturdays to Sundays for Christians. The New Testament indicates that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, the necessity of observing the Jewish Sabbath came to an end for Christians. In one place it says, "So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or what? Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality." So what was going on back there in the first century when that was written? Well, non-Jewish Christians were being pressured by Jewish Christians to basically become Jewish, to adopt all the trappings of the Jewish religion, Sabbath observance, as well as the whole Old Testament system of festivals and holy days. And Christians realized that it was no longer necessary to observe Jewish practices of worship because they had been fulfilled in Jesus and what he accomplished. It was, and it still is, a new day. So what eventually emerged from this gradual separation of Christianity from its Jewish roots was the understanding that it was appropriate to set aside much, if not all, of the ceremonial law that we find in the Old Testament while retaining and keeping the moral laws that we find there. For example, the Old Testament advocated the sacrifice of animals for the forgiveness of sins, yes? Now, however, because Jesus became our sacrifice on the cross, it's no longer necessary, it's no longer even appropriate to sacrifice animals to have our sins forgiven. We can't find, however, any suspension of the commandments against idolatry, misusing God's name, murder, adultery, stealing, lying, coveting in the New Testament. In fact, all of the other nine of God's Big Ten are repeated in some way, deepened, expanded in the New Testament. And because they're essentially moral in nature rather than ceremonial, those nine remain valid and relevant to us today, much as they were first written. So, are we as Christians today required to keep the Sabbath like the Jewish people did 3,500 years ago, or even as Jewish people do today? No. Well, are we free then to completely ignore the fourth commandment? No. That's like throwing a baby out with the bathwater. Not a good idea. There are values, there are principles found in the fourth commandment that are absolutely essential to a robust, faithful Christian life. And for me, it is best summed up, it's summed up best in one word: balance. Balance. God wants you and me to find balance, retain balance, keep working at being balanced in how we just live out our everyday lives. Remember, folks, that the purpose of God's Big Ten is like God saying, please don't hurt yourself. Please, would you please pursue blessing and lasting happiness? If you'll do these 10, it'll happen. If you reject a balanced life, you're the one that's going to be the loser. And if you practice a balanced life, you're the winner. So let me share with you this morning three observations about balance. First of all, you and I need to have a balance that requires worship. Balance that requires worship. God felt very strongly about Sabbath observance in the Old Testament. And he suggested there in Exodus 20 that observing it was like reflecting God's pattern of activity during creation when he made everything in 6 days and then he rested on the seventh day. Now, why did God need to rest? Does this guy get tired? Does he need a nap? No. I like the suggestion that God rested for the same reason that there are rests in music. I don't know anything about music, but this is what they tell me. Okay? It's not because musicians get tired of playing the notes, but because for emphasis and reflection. It's as if the composer says, wow, get a load of what happened right there. Think about it for a minute. And that's what God did after he created the world. Wow, get a load of what happened down there. To observe the Sabbath, then, was to identify with God, who he is, what God has accomplished. It's a way of expressing our dependence on God and really his authority in and over our lives. Well, you see, that led and should lead inevitably to worship. Now, here's an interesting verse, not from Exodus, but Leviticus. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of complete rest, an official day for holy assembly. You ever wonder what the Jews did back on the Sabbath? Well, there you go. That means the Sabbath, even back in the Old Testament, involves some kind of worship gathering. We know from the New Testament that Jesus was in the habit, it was his custom, to worship God regularly at the synagogue on the Sabbath. And after Jesus' resurrection, the first Christians considered getting together for worship on the Lord's Day to be essential activity for every follower of Jesus. It says, and let us not neglect our meeting together. They had the same problem back then that we do now. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So there's an eternal principle or value that is found in the fourth commandment that helps us to create healthy balance in our lives. The Lord's Day, Sunday, ought to include gathering with other followers, just like what we're doing today, other followers of Jesus to worship the Lord. We honor God and we enhance our own lives when we set aside one day out of seven to worship God with other people who also love him and want to serve him. You see, God has created a kind of rhythm to time and living that suggests that once every 7 days, you and I need to get together with other believers to worship him. As the psalmist says, you and I need the time and the space to be still and to remember that God is God. We need a day when we listen to God's voice and we give him fresh access to our hearts, our minds, our lives. You know, over the years, I've heard many people tell me, sometimes with kind of a surprise, that they just feel better when they worship God on Sundays. Well, of course. When you live life according to God's pattern of time, you have a life that is more balanced. And more balance means more happiness. Theodore Roosevelt, 26th president of the United States, had an interesting insight. Here's what he said. On Sunday, go to church. Yes, I know all the excuses. I know that one can worship the Creator and dedicate oneself to good living in a grove of trees or by a running brook or in one's house just as well as in church. But I also know, as a matter of cold fact, the average man does not thus worship or dedicate himself. Preach on, Teddy. He's right. Life is more than just work and leisure. For followers of Jesus, there's also worship. And without worship, your life will never have its proper balance. We all need this regular time to stop and examine our priorities again, reevaluate stuff, regroup emotionally, tune into God, listen to his voice, get our perspective on life straightened out again. And God says that should happen at least once every 7 days. You know, it's sort of like when you buy a car. You know, you often get a maintenance schedule along with it. And you know how it works. If you do certain procedures at certain mileage points, then the car will probably last longer and run better than if you just ignore all those maintenance guidelines. And our owner's manual is the Bible, yes? And it says that we need a spiritual tune-up at least once every 7 days with God and with his people. So put a non-negotiable fence around Sunday worship. I wonder if we offer up excuses to God. Now, I'm talking, I guess, to the people that aren't here, right? But anyway, you're free to use this. Do we offer up excuses to God that no employer would ever accept? Imagine calling your boss and saying, you know, I can't make it in on Tuesdays because I just need a day of rest. Can't do it. Or, you know, I didn't come to work Friday because the golf course, the beach, the boat, the mall, whatever, just called to me. Just couldn't do it. What excuses would your boss accept for missing work? Why do we suppose God accepts our excuses for not worshiping regularly? James Garfield, 20th president of the United States. This is past President Sunday, I guess. He'd been in that position for 1 week. And a member of his cabinet insisted that Garfield attend the cabinet meeting, which had been scheduled for Sunday at 10 a.m. And it was a matter dealing with some kind of national crisis. And Garfield refused on the grounds he had another appointment. The cabinet member insisted that Garfield break this appointment since this meeting was of national importance. And Garfield still refused. So the cabinet member asked him, "I should be interested to know, sir, with whom you could have an appointment so important that it cannot be broken." And Garfield replied, "I will be as frank as you are. My engagement is with the Lord, to meet him at his house, at his table, at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow, and I shall be there." President Garfield worshiped the Lord on the Lord's Day. The crisis passed. Our nation survived just fine. Balance requires worship. Secondly, balance requires work. Work. Sometimes we so associate number four of God's Big Ten with rest that we forget it implies important truths about work. A balanced life also requires work. Working at an occupation in life is something good and pleasing to the Lord. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. God gave Adam and Eve the Garden of Eden to tend and take care of. That was their work. Folks, some people think that work is sort of a result of the fall. No, it's not. Having to go to work was something that God wanted us to do. God's original intent for us was not to sit around and be idle all day long. Instead, it's the frustration or the futility that sometimes gets attached to our work or our jobs that's the result of living in a sinful world. Work itself is a good thing. God considered creating the world as he himself doing work. Therefore, when we work, we follow God's example. Honest work brings dignity and purpose to our lives, doesn't it? Of course it does. And it provides for what? Provides for the legitimate needs of our family. Without work, your life would be out of balance. By the way, I suggest that we just keep the definition of work very broad, okay? It isn't necessary to force all work into an 8-to-5 time frame where you get up and you get dressed and you drive to some building and you do stuff there and you get paid for it. I, for example, suggest some of the hardest workers on the face of the earth have been and still are stay-at-home mothers. I mean, the work of providing a wonderful home and shaping the young lives who live there to follow Jesus, is there a greater, is there a nobler task than that? By the same token, we have a lot of retired people in our congregation. And to my knowledge, the Bible never addresses retirement as practiced in our culture. It does, however, warn any and all of us of the dangers of being idle and not being occupied in something worthwhile. Nor do I find any scripture that gives us permission to stop using our spiritual gifts to advance the work of the Church of Jesus Christ. Retire from a job? Okay, well and good. Retire from the kingdom of God? Never. And a lot of our retired people in this church understand that. I'm not sure we could function as a church if it wasn't for you folks. Find a ministry or ministries and work at them faithfully until Jesus calls you home to heaven. Then you can rest if necessary. But you don't rest now when it comes to the kingdom of God. Balance requires worship. Balance requires work. Here's the last one. Balance requires refreshment. Refreshment. And I use that word refreshment instead of rest because I think it better expresses the value that God presents here in number 4 of God's Big Ten. You know what? When you make a study of how people in the Old Testament were supposed to observe the original Sabbath, it becomes clear that the day was supposed to provide a complete break in the ordinary routine of life. One day in the week was to be totally different than all the rest. No tramping around in the hot sand, no collecting manna, no packing and unpacking of tents, no cooking, no repairs. And other passages forbade buying and selling stuff. The Sabbath was supposed to provide a complete change of pace. And it's clear to me that God gave the fourth commandment to prevent personal burnout. It's God's antidote to burnout, a condition that happens all too often in our stress-filled world. Have you heard of the concept of sharpening the saw? Probably. Suppose you were out in the woods and you came upon someone who was working feverishly to saw down a tree. Because your other name is Captain Obvious, you ask, "What are you doing?" And the other person says, "Duh, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm sawing down this tree." "Well, you look exhausted," you observe. "How long have you been at it?" "Over 5 hours I've been at this, cutting down this tree. And I'm beat. This is hard work." And so, trying to be helpful, you offer a suggestion. "Well, why don't you take a break for a few minutes and sit down and sharpen your saw? I'm sure it would go a lot faster." And the other person says, "No, I don't have time to sharpen the saw. I'm too busy sawing." And there's a kind of a counterintuitive principle right there that actually applies to many areas of life. For example, people who tithe, people who give 10% of their income to the Lord faithfully or more, they learn, folks, that they actually seem to have more money to spend with 90% of their income and the Lord as their financial partner than when they keep all 100% for themselves. Here's what else I know. You will work more productively, more efficiently. You will actually accomplish more in 6 days if you intentionally rest one day than if you just stay at it all 7 days without rest. Now, what do I mean by refreshment? Refreshment. Well, the most obvious kind is physical rest, right? You know, there are more work-saving and time-saving devices and apps out there than ever before, but work-related stress, pressure, burnout are just as prevalent. Someone has observed, if you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. You need to take one day out of 7 off and rest. Your work can become all-consuming and addictive. However, your body and your inner spirit weren't designed by God to stay at it 24/7. You know, even secular efficiency experts in business and industry discovered long ago that an employee who has regular periods of rest ends up being more productive than someone that just works continually and constantly. Who knew? Well, God did, apparently. Are you as fatigued on Monday morning as you were on Friday afternoon? Are you bringing work home regularly and often using Sundays to catch up on your tasks? Does relaxing make you feel guilty? The Bible does say, "The Lord is my shepherd. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams." Here's a question. Has God ever made you rest because you refused to rest? Oh, now he's gone to meddling. Some people end up observing the fourth commandment by spending some time in the hospital. God makes them observe accumulated Sabbaths. But we need more than physical rest. You and I also need spiritual and emotional refreshment. So how do you get that? Spend some quiet time alone. The Bible says, in quietness and confidence is your strength. Folks, you and I live in a world of information overload. Intentionally and ruthlessly, disconnect. For a start, turn off your phone. You know, I got another phone. I now have a biblical phone. Let me explain. I got this one about a month ago. And I noticed that on Sundays it was giving me a message. You have not turned your phone off in 7 days. It wants me to turn the phone off. I mean, is that incredible or what? It's a biblical phone. I don't know how it works. Folks, I see more up here than you think I see. Oh, yeah. If you come to this worship service and you're looking at the phone, why are you here? Why are you here? Turn it off. Disconnect. Spend an hour and a half in quiet contemplation upon the Lord and what He's done for you. Okay? Not only do we avoid doing the work on Sunday that provides your income and life, but avoid making it a chore day too. Manage your time so you clean the house and you mow the lawn and you go grocery shopping some other day. Instead, how about going, you take a walk in the park. Go fishing. Do some light gardening. Read a book. Visit a museum. Listen to music. Do stuff that will refresh and rejuvenate your spirit and emotions. I like this observation. You need to rest today so your soul can catch up with your body. Yeah. And then spend some time with your family. Remember them? Being a workaholic destroys relationships. Your spouse and your kids need you to take a day off and spend time with them. Men, stay home, talk to your wife, and play with your kids. Or as one smart aleck put it, play with your wife and talk to your kids. Just a thought. Spend time enjoying and doing good for others. How about you invite someone over for a simple meal or just go out together and get some fast food? Enjoy good, friendly conversation. Or how about you visit someone who can't get out and might need a bit of company and encouragement? Folks, here's the thing. The Lord's Day should be the happiest day of the week for you and for me. It should be the day that we look forward to the most. Intentionally make it different and enjoyable. Worship the Lord with His people like you're doing now. Rest physically. Do stuff that provides spiritual and emotional refreshment to yourself. Don't get all legalistic about what you can and can't do. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. This is the day God created for you to experience refreshment. And friends, I realize that we live in a complex world where not everyone can take every Sunday off. I'm thinking of nurses and medical professionals, people that work in law enforcement. Oh, pastors and church staff people, just to name a few. Some folk will need to plan another day off in the week so the same effect can be accomplished. Remember, there's an overarching principle or value here that we need to understand and apply and live out. Balance. 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 It's all about letting Jesus be the Lord of your time. Is Jesus really in charge of how you spend your minutes, your hours, your days? That is, I believe, one of the big reasons why God gave us the fourth commandment. How you and I use our time is a deeply spiritual issue. You see, the fact is that overly busy people can actually be quite lazy. How's that? Well, they're just too lazy to really discipline themselves in how they use their time. And time, just like money, is something you and I need to budget and manage and steward. A balanced life, from God's perspective, requires adequate time for worship and work and refreshment. And God is never the one, my friends, who wants to stress you out and cause burnout. That's our enemy, the devil. The Bible puts it like this: so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. So how do you make every moment, every minute count for the Lord Jesus Christ? It is not by packing a quart of activity into a pint of time. It's by living out God's proper balance for how we use our time and finding the appropriate rhythm of worship and work and refreshment. Have you ever heard of the fable of the birds? It's a little fictional story about creation. And, it tells about how the animals, when they were first made, were just kind of walking around, figuring out what it was like to be alive. And they were having a pretty good time, except for the birds. The birds were irritated because God had given them these awkward appendages on their shoulders. And they didn't have a clue why. And they were beginning to feel persecuted. I mean, here they were. These appendages made it hard to walk around. I mean, it felt like God was punishing them. Why us? Said the birds. And then two or three of the more adventurous birds started to flap these awkward appendages. They started to flutter, and before long, they discovered that those awkward appendages allowed them to do something that none of the other animals could do. They could fly. What seemed like an awkward burden, a heavy burden, turned out to be a beautiful and a wonderful gift. In some ways, you and I are like those silly birds. We know God wants us to obey Him generally, and when it comes to God's Big Ten specifically, but they can feel like sometimes like these awkward appendages. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt. So restrictive. So limiting. So negative. Until we realize that God has given those rules to us to enhance life, enrich life, elevate life. So we've been reminded today that God even has something to say to you and me about how we spend our time. Balance. Time for worship, time for work, time for refreshment. Why? Because God wants us to fly. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we praise you today for the fact that you care even about how we spend our time. And your scripture addresses that in number 4 of your Big Ten. Father, forgive us for allowing our lives to become imbalanced because you give us authority over our own lives to manage our time, and sometimes we don't do that job very well. Help us to find and to keep a balance in worship, a balance in work, a balance in refreshment. Help us to do the things, Lord, in the way that you want them done, knowing that your desire is just to enhance, enrich, and elevate our lives in every way. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.